Amen. All right, let's look at Isaiah chapter 9, starting at verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. We're teaching on the subject called the government of God. This is teaching number 5, the government of God. The reason why I'm teaching on this is because there has to be a shift in our thinking for the church to be able to go where God has planned for us to go and do what he's planned for us to do in these last days. And the thinking is going to have to shift because somewhat we're still thinking in terms of the old religious model of a church. And it's not that. So I want to give you a few more things here that help you conceptualize who you are, where you are, and understand what's going on where you are. He says here, unto us a child is born and unto us a son is given. Now, this is Jesus. Jesus is referred to as the Ancient of Days. In Hebrews, I think chapter 7, he talks about Jesus and talks about having no beginning and no ending. He always was. Jesus, the Christ, now is coming into the world. He is God. He's as much God as the Father and as the Holy Ghost. These three we call Elohim, having to do with Creator God. This is one of the aspects of God. And so now these three operate as one, the originator, the Father, the Word, Jesus, and the one who manifests the Word or brings things into manifestation called the Holy Spirit. And those are three, the way I look at the three operations. But he said, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Mary conceived the seed of the Word, and the Word was made flesh. The Word came into being. So then he says, verse 7, and the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Now what we said last time is that Jesus, one of the reasons why he came to redeem humanity. Adam, because of his treason, had lost the earth and man was lost. Jesus came to redeem him. Redeem has to do with something that is paid, a ransom or whatever is paid to get him back. Jesus had to do that. Now, what he was also doing is recovering what was lost. And one of the things that was lost is the kingdom of God, God's government and heaven's kingdom or heaven's reality. It was lost in the earth. Jesus came to recover that, recover the sight of man, bring mankind back up to the place where he had originally habitated before Adam sinned. Now he refers to that as the government. Now let's go all the way over again to Hebrews chapter 11. And in Hebrews chapter 11, see, I firmly believe that a lot of things that have been hard for us to do, if I can use that term, are not really hard. They're only hard because somehow we've been operating off the wrong platform. Because this hadn't been taught. I didn't hear anything about the kingdom of God when I was coming up in that Baptist church. I mean, nothing wrong with the Baptist or Church of God in Christ, anything. Wherever I went, I didn't hear anything about this. I'm just saying, to the degree, I mean, they might have mentioned it and so forth, but I'm talking about understood, I'm understanding now what Jesus was teaching. He was teaching the kingdom. So here it says, verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he would afterward receive for an inheritance, he obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is who? Is God. He looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. So he's looking for this place. What place? A place where there can be peace, where there can be prosperity, where there can be joy, where there can be provision or plenty for everyone. A place where they're in safety, they're protected. A place. Now, everybody that you know is looking for that same kind of place. Got it? So this is what Jesus came to bring us. He came to bring heaven to earth. And he said, pray this way, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, where? On earth, in earth, as it is in heaven. So you pray that way. Well, it doesn't look that way, Jesus. I said, pray that way. Now, so you and I are then, God has chosen us. Let's go to Ephesians, please. Ephesians chapter 3. Chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And Ephesians chapter 1, look at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings, where? In heavenly places, where? In Christ. Watch this. According as he has what? Chosen us, where? In him, when? Before the foundation of the world. So when were we chosen? Before the foundation of the world. When were we blessed? Before the foundation of the world. Okay? Blessed in everything. Blessed in health, blessed in prosperity, blessed in peace and joy and so forth. Blessed. Now, we were chosen before the foundation of the world. That's when you were chosen. Now, when did you get saved? Maybe last year, 3 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 49, whenever you were chosen. You're born again. But when you were born again, now you were born from above. Let's go over to John chapter 3, please. I'm just making you see all these things. John chapter 3. This is very key, because what I'm doing is I'm changing, by the teaching, changing your paradigm of who you are and where you are. Because where you are, there is no lack. All right, or no scarcity. Look at verse 3. Look at verse 1. And there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. He was a ruler now. He's a very prominent man. And same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, that was called Nick at night. No, I couldn't resist it. Look at verse 2. And the same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher, come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Now, what was he doing? He was operating on a level of manifesting heaven's reality in this earth. Glory to God. Verse 3, and Jesus answered and said to him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot what? See the kingdom of God. What I told you is in my center column reference, it said born again translates in the Greek, born from above. So you and I were born from above. Now, your first verse was right here where you had been born as a natural person and citizen of this, whatever country you were born in and or whatever citizenship you have, you were born as a natural person. Now, there's another birth that you can experience. Because as David said, and I'm going to want to read this, and you, please don't turn. Let me just read it for you. He said this over in Psalm chapter 51. He said, I was born, glory to God. Verse number, glory to God. Verse, make me hear what I have. I renew the right spirit. Curse me. Yeah. Verse 5. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. So everybody's got to be born again. I don't care who they are. Well, you don't know, Pastor. Since I was born, I was kept, in a clean room all my life. I never had a chance to curse anybody or never had a chance to do this or do that and so forth. You still got to be born again. So that's the deal. For you to get to heaven, to make the Jesus be Lord of your life, and for you to be saved, you got to be born again. Okay? All right. Now, he's saying that except a man be born from above, he can't see some things. So the moment you're born again, you can see stuff that you couldn't see before. And I could see things about my life that I couldn't see before. I mean, right now, there's a faint memory of some stuff, but I hate to even think about that. Man, that wasn't me. That was some other guy. Okay? All right, now that's what I'm saying, because notice people who are not born again and people who are born again, all of a sudden, if they're in the same family, sometimes they wonder, there's conflict and so forth. And you know why? Why? Because they can see two different realities. Okay? All right. Now let's go to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16. And in Matthew chapter 16, this is talking now about Jesus is prophetically speaking about something called the church. The church. Now, the church is, as he speaks about it here, he is talking about a reality, glory to God, that would exist. Well, let me just read it. He says here in verse, I won't start at verse 13. He was just asking them, who do they say that I am? So one said, hey, some said you're John the Baptist, some said you're Elias, one of the prophets. He said in verse 15, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I'll say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, we've read that and tried to make, a little poem out of it and so forth and so on. But this is a powerful word. It is so powerful, I don't think naturally you can articulate it. He said, first of all, Peter, he said, and I say unto you, verse 18, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Now, the word church, as we told you before, is the word ekklesia, E-K-K-L-E-S-I-A, having to do with called out ones. But now we're talking in terms of a government. We're not talking in terms anymore of religious body. We're talking in terms now of a government body. Just like you saw last night, or if you looked at the say the union address, you saw the congressman and so forth and so on, said it. You saw the representative, you saw the people sitting there. That was a government legislative body. That's what he was talking about. But I'm going to build my church, my government, my legislative body. I'm going to build it. Now, you were chosen before the foundation of the world to be in that body. Now, that body is a lawmaking group. I want you to see something here. Now, that's what they did there. That's what they do. And they ratified and so forth. But I want you to see the principle here, because once you do, you'll kind of see your part to play. So the church is part of the kingdom, the government of God. Y'all with me? So now, this church is prophetically spoken about in Daniel and Daniel chapter 2. Let's just come over there just for a minute so that we can understand the church. Daniel chapter 2. All right, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. He called the magicians and everybody to ask him to interpret the dream for him, the sorcerers and all that. They couldn't do it. Now, these are the people that's supposed to be interpreting spiritual things, but they couldn't do it. So then he got mad about it and put out an order to kill them all and all the wise men and so forth. And then Daniel stepped up. Sam said, hey, wait a minute. Whoa. I think I can handle it. And long story short, God came to Daniel, gave him the wisdom of it, and told him what the thing meant. So he got together with the king. Verse 31. Thou king sawest, and behold, there was a great image, and a great image whose brightness was excellent. He stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. And the image's head was of fine gold, and his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and the thighs of brass, and his legs of iron, and feet part iron and part clay. You saw that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them into pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken in pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, and there was no place found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Glory to God. This is the dream. Let's come all the way down to verse 44. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms. And it shall stand how long? Forever. All right, let's come very quickly over to Revelations, please, all the way over to the book of Revelations. And Revelations and chapter 11. All right, Revelation chapter 11. Look at verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there was a great voice in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the what? Kingdoms of our Lord and of his who? Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever. So all the kingdoms that Satan had built in this world, now you saw a prophetic word from Daniel that all these kingdoms are going to be broken in pieces. And one kingdom is going to emerge called the kingdom of God, and it's going to spread where? All over the earth. So that's what's happening. That there's going to be one kingdom. And that kingdom is going to be spread throughout the whole earth. Amen. Glory to God. Now, as this is spoken, you and I are citizens of that kingdom. Let's go to Philippians, please, in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Let me know when you get there. Look at verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you would, could you flip that to the Amplified translation, please? Do you have the Amplified translation? All right. Can you get my Amplified down there, please? How am I doing? How am I doing? But we are what? Citizens of the state. Come on. Commonwealth, keep going. Homeland, keep going, which is in heaven. Stop right there. So this is where you have your citizenship. Homeland. Commonwealth, which is a term they use in England, but you need to understand Commonwealth. So this is where we came from. Heaven. We have citizenship there. Say amen to that. Now, because we have citizenship there, oh, Jesus. We had to come into that citizenship through a door. Turn to Matthew chapter 7, please. Matthew chapter 7. And let me know when you get to Matthew chapter 7. Look at verse 14. Nope, verse 13. Enter ye in at the what? Straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in therein. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. You come in through a door, and John chapter 15, I think it says, Jesus is the door. So the only way you can come into this kingdom is through a door. And the way is narrow, it's not wide. You've heard people say, well, you know, we're all saved in a way. No, no. I like the thought of that, but it's not true. You better turn to John chapter 1. I think I better say something about this because somebody might be listening to me and you might have heard some stuff from some New Age folks. And I want to knock that devil in the head because... Let me know when you get there. Are you there? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by who? Him. And without him was not anything made that was what? Made. In him was what? Life. And the life was the light of men. Verse 11. He came to his own, and his own received him what? Not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become, come on, the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So there's not many ways to God. There's one way. I said there's one way. Now don't get mad at me. Just look at the Bible, praise God. I'm just reading the Bible. All right, let's deal with this for just a minute because I want to kind of wrap this up with this. Kingdom. The shift comes when you realize that a kingdom has a king. Turn to Revelation, please. In Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. Let me know when you get there. Are you there? Look what it says here in verse 16. And he, talking about Jesus, has on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, what? King of kings, keep going, and Lord of lords. He is the king of who?
Kings,
keep going. He is the Lord of who?
Lords.
All right, now let me give you a picture here. I want to paint it for you so you'll know again who you are, because I'm telling you, we've tried to struggle for faith, but faith should be very easy when you know the kingdom. Look what it says. Go over to Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. Jesus is the king of who?
Kings.
Jesus is the Lord of who?
Lords.
So are you a king?
Yes. Yeah.
Are you a lord?
Yes.
Is he a king?
Yes.
Is he a lord?
Yes.
But he's the king of who?
Kings.
All right. Look what it says here in verse 1 of chapter 23. The whole multitude of them arose and led him to Pilate. They led who to Pilate?
Jesus.
Verse 2, and they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king." And Pilate asked him, saying, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" And he answered them, him, and said, "Thou sayest it." Then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, "I find no fault in this man." And they were the more fierce, saying, "He stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place." When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at where? Jerusalem at that time. So Herod was in Jerusalem doing some business. Pilate was there in Jerusalem, but Pilate was in Jerusalem because that was part of Pilate's what? Jurisdiction. But they said something about this. They said, "Now, wait a minute. This man doesn't give tribute to Caesar. And that he himself is Christ. He says he's the king." So Caesar was a king. But what about Pilate? Caesar was over Pilate. One of the scriptures even refers to Herod as a king. But he wasn't the king. Keep going. He was the king. Caesar was the king of kings. But over here is Herod's jurisdiction. What does jurisdiction mean? You have final say over that domain. That's what it means. You have final say over it. Wherever the soles of your feet shall tread upon, keep going, is your jurisdiction. You have final say over that domain, that property, what goes on in society, everything. You're the one. Herod, King Caesar, sent you out to take care of business on his behalf, and you are to keep everybody under subjection. So even the Jews took Jesus to the one who is over the jurisdiction. Now, I'm only flipping the script on you. I'm telling you that they're painting a picture of you. When Caesar called a meeting, all of those who were tetrarchs and kings and all that, they came to the Senate. Caesar then began to speak. He began to give the laws, and they voted on things and so forth. Then they went right back out to their territories. Today we call them governors. Today we call them House of Representatives. We call them senators and so forth. And they call and carry out what laws have been made. So you come and have a meeting with the king. The king gives you orders as to what to carry out in your own jurisdiction. Now, are we clear on this? I'm painting a picture here for you, because here you got two of them, see, and normally they don't even talk together, because Satan's kingdom is full of division. It's full of people jealous of other people. That's why none of that mess should be in the church. None of that. So I'm saying now you have been anointed, meaning you carry the mantle, to be the authority wherever you are. Is this making sense to you now? Now understand, the devil has set up his kingdom. He's trying to make some things and do some things and so forth that are not in line with heaven's government. But you and I are here to change everything and bring everything in alignment with what heaven, the king, has spoken. In a sovereign kingdom, there is no voting. Meaning that for the most part, what you do is you hear the law, and once you hear it, you carry it out. In other words, once the law is passed, that's it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Glory to God.
Yes.
Now, I want you to see this, because you've got something to say about where you stay. You've got something to say about the job you go to. You've got something to say about who's messing with your kids. You've got something to say. But you got to understand, in a kingdom, as a king, you don't fight. You have never seen, Lord have mercy. I want you to get this now. You are not alone, glory to God, but a king doesn't ask for things. A king decrees it. You know, when I was over in Nigeria at one time, this is one of the previous trips back, and we were visiting the governor, they have different provinces and so forth, they have governors. And we're visiting one of the governors, and he was in, you know, the palace or whatever, and he was sitting there, and they had all these people lined up to see him and so forth. And we were in the number. And so I had my little television video monitor, because I was going to show him what we were doing here in terms of Joseph School and so forth and so on. And I had that. And then somebody told me, are you planning on taking that back? I said, yeah. I would not show that to him. I said, you wouldn't show it to him? Nope. Because if you show it to him, he's going to want that. I said, well, I'm going to put it away then. Now, I'm only saying, he wasn't, that's their custom. That, under that, he doesn't ask for anything. Because a king decrees a thing, he is not the one that carries it out. Come back to Joel chapter 22, please. I'm almost done. I am out of time. Joel chapter 22. Joel chapter 22. Let me know when you get there. Praise the Lord. Verse 28. You with me? I'm almost done. Thou shalt also what? Decree a thing, and it shall be established. Keep going. All right? So once a king speaks, they that are around him make sure what he has spoken is accomplished. He decrees a thing. And so I'm saying in our situations, we can speak things. Oh, I'm telling you. This man, I don't even have a chance to show you, time to show you that. Matthew chapter 26, please. See, if you don't have time, I can't show you all of this. Because it takes time, man. You know, you're trying to go home and get something to eat. Well, you need to... No, I mean, I'm serious about this. You got to take time with this. But this here will save your life. This here will make it so you'll never be broke again in another day in your life. This is it, what I'm telling you. See, I know this. I will never be broke. Never. I'm not saying that to some bragging spirit. I'm saying it because I know the kingdom. Look what it says here. They're coming after Jesus. Verse 52. Then Jesus said to him, "Put up your sword into its place. For all they that take the sword shall what? Perish with the sword. Thinkest thou not that I can now what? Pray to my Father." Keep going. "And he shall presently give me more than," come on, 12 legions of angels. So as a citizen, one of your benefits is that you have an army. You have a security system. Citizens in the kingdom do not fight their battles. The army that is given to them protects them and fights for them. You got it? Over in 2 Kings chapter 6, study when you get time. You know what the man of God was surrounded by the enemy, but notice he didn't fight his battles. He prayed and God sent what? Angels. All right? So, as a citizen, I have a domain that I'm responsible for. As a citizen, I'm under a constitution. We call it a covenant. Here it is, right here. People under the rule of the king are called citizens. But citizens in the kingdom is a pleasure. The king, you get this, is obligated to care for their welfare. One more time. In the kingdom, the king is obligated to care for their welfare. But my God, keep going, shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. By? Christ is a who? He's a king. He's a king, folks. It's a reflection of the king himself when a kingdom is poor. Now, the number one job of a citizen is to submit to the king. So, he is seeking to remain in right standing with his king. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to. Now there are laws. In any government, there are laws, and they're established by the king. Here they are right here. Now you can make a law. You ready? If two of you shall agree, it'll establish a law. Now, If you obey the laws of this kingdom, it guarantees all the benefits of that kingdom will be yours. Peace, joy, prosperity, blessing, health, everything. Say amen to this. So you have benefits. See, I've got a benefits package. And the last thing is culture. That wherever we go, we are bringing the kingdom culture to that environment. We're bringing love and peace and joy and understanding and so forth and so on. So Paul calls you ambassadors. Why? Because you've been sent. Who's with you and will be with you always?
Jesus.
All right, that's true. But the Holy Ghost. Who's going to teach you? The Holy Ghost. Are you ever going to come up on a problem that you can't solve?
No.
Never. Never. The Holy Ghost has the answer before you even get there. Now you have to be loyal to that kingdom because the enemy tries to get you to speak against your king. If your king says you're healed, you're healed.
Ah.
Are you following what I'm saying now? So what do? I pledge allegiance to the king. You got it? So you and I are in a government. It's not just going to church. It's coming in to be taught under the authority of the Holy Ghost. And he's going to teach you things that the world can't even teach you. He's going to bring you up to such a level that you'll be able to manage this earth and your jurisdiction in a way that will bring peace to people and joy to people. Come on now. And bring the heaven down to the earth. Did you get something out of that? That's all I got. Y'all yawning. So. Now, I know I took time with that and so forth, and I'm trying not to hold you this long. I apologize for it. But here's the deal. If you get this, now, when you step into a place, you know you're in the world, but you're not what? Of this world. You know you don't go by yourself. One, Jesus said, I'm with you wherever you go. You know you have the Holy Ghost there, but you know you got angels there. The angels are assigned to you. Once you get born again, they are assigned to you. They're with you right now and so forth. But they're waiting on your words because they hearken to the word of the Constitution. So you can't speak against them. You can't say, boy, I can't afford that. Don't say that. Amen. Folks, now I'm going to tell you something. Once you get this, now, can I say this?
Yes.
Y'all can talk about me when you get home tonight. No. But think about it. You no longer have to do things the world's way. Didn't the king know that you were going to come in this earth? Didn't he provide for you?
Yes.
See? Now, there's nothing wrong with saving up for 10 years to buy a new house. But I didn't see that in the scripture. Let me come over here. I ask you, were you going to do me right? I remember saving up money because we were going to buy this mall. And here I got in prayer. And the Lord said, all right, I want you to take $400,000 and sow it. I quickly dropped back into my old citizenship. And I said, Lord, I'm saving that because that's what we're going to buy it with. He said, no. You're out of the buying and selling. Now you're in the sowing and reaping. sowed that seed, and look what happened. Miracle, one miracle after another. Now, I'm not telling you to go beyond what you can believe for, but I'm telling you, in this kingdom, it's according to what you believe. You can sow a seed to get whatever you need, because God knows that He's going to take care of you and He's going to make you a trophy for the kingdom. Give the Lord a praise. Now, okay. Y'all can talk about me out there when you get out. Well, I'm saving up for me a house. You ain't going to tell me what to do for my house. Well, that's fine. That's nothing wrong with that. Amen. But I told my wife, I said, baby, now, listen now. If we got to work for everything we get, then we just may as well function under the curse. This is supposed to be by grace. I mean, He has given me all things. Now, I just need to know how to get it. Now, I know you're looking at me. Listen, I tell you, you can pay that tuition off in 3 weeks. That school loan, you can pay it off in 3 weeks. See, that's a word for somebody right there. That just came from the King. You can pay the school loan off in 3 weeks. Woo! Then you need to, what you do is just take the word of the prophet. Say, okay, praise God, that's for me. I'm okay, Lord, I'm going to seek You as to how to do this. That's all you got to do. We're in a different kingdom now. Are you with me? Y'all still love me? All right. You want the truth, don't you? Now, I know I've kept you late, but this is good for you. But I stayed under self-control. You notice I'm teaching on self-control. Boy, my insides wanted to just ride. I said, no. Just say, Winston, just be cool now. Just you know. Yeah, amen. Okay. If you hear God spoke to your heart about being born again, now I'm talking about this kingdom. Remember now, you got to be born into it. You just can't slip into it, sneak into it, buy a ticket and get in it. You've got to actually be born into this kingdom. So if you're here tonight,